Sustaining Alive with Rita Steele. Thanks to Scarecrow, your local kitchen, florist and grocer. Go to scarecrow.co.nz.
Rita, we've got a pretty mint little Scarecrow gift this week to give away to anybody that's listening that this tickles their fancy as we're having a chat. We have two natural skincare Blue Earth soaps. Okay.
Cool.
So,
I imagine this packaging the new normal skincare routine.
What's that?
If it's a soap, it's probably less packaging than a normal skincare routine.
I'd say anything Scarecrow will be they're pretty dimed when it comes to the ethical zone. So, yeah, it might just be like a soap sort of wrapped up in a bit of twine, you know?
Yeah, cool. Very cool.
That's right.
Very cool.
So if anybody is keen on that, you know, let us know. Maybe drop us a little fact of what we're talking about today, 5395, and let us know you're after the soap, and we'll make it happen. Rita, what's on the menu?
We talked a little bit about macro species last week and the extinction of them, and you were quite keen to talk about the little species. So we'll talk about those.
Oh, yeah.
What's happening with those. But I do, just before we start that, I'm going to do a shout out to everyone. We've got a Resource Management Act, a major change to the Resource Management Act that is up for submissions that close tomorrow.
Okay.
This is a really, really important piece of legislation because it's probably the most significant piece of legislation around freeing up land since at least the unitary plan.
Freeing up land for what? Living?
Living. So the Act is called the Resource Management Act, Enabling Housing Supply and Other Matters Amendment Bill. And what it does in a nutshell is they are looking at opening up any urban property to having up to three houses on it at three stories, and getting rid of things like height to boundary ratios, which is what protects your sun, and also getting rid of like minimum living space areas and things like parking rules. And there's a whole bunch of stuff in there that's quite important. And I'm calling for people. The submissions close tomorrow at midnight, so you've got tonight and tomorrow. And there's lots of places that you can have a look for, you know, what you can say. But I mean, even if you're writing in there that you believe in having a quality of life as well, I'm all for freeing up housing and especially land for housing, and especially in the right places. But I do fear that a broad stroke like this could just go a little bit too far. We've got the unitary plan, which has freed up the land for 400,000 houses as of now. We can't keep up with the building of those. So, you know, the question mark is there on what are we going to see off the back of this? Like, what?
Do you know what? I think I figured it out. There's probably a new season of Neighbours at War coming out real soon, and they just need some more content. And they just, this sounds like classic Neighbours at War type shit, eh? Like, how big is that? You're taking away my son. Kind of thing.
It's just you know, that stuff, like you know, they've done some stuff down the road from me, a big development that's been pushed through under COVID fast track, which creates some jobs. And they've bought the land for about $100,000 per dwelling, and they're selling them at $959,000.
Wow. Okay, so hang on, just let me carry the four. That's a significant increase. But
near Big Hungry and I in Avondale, there's that big corner section as you go into the Avondale shops, and I think they're going like 6 to 10 high on there.
Yeah, but that's good. We should be living in those kind. Let's get one thing straight here. That style of building is definitely what we should be building. If the floor can accommodate like a family of at least three or four, you know, like, we need to stop building apartments that are like one person things and start thinking about families living in a tiered situation.
Yeah,
but what we're talking about now is capital on top of what, you know, unnecessary earning, right?
Yeah, look, I think that it's that broad stroke thing, right? Because you don't really want people living miles away from any public transport, with no land whatsoever, no parking whatsoever. They can't do their washing. They can't, you know, all those sorts of things that just don't make sense, that isolates people because they can't get anywhere.
Right.
And they've got no sun, they've got no quality of life. And especially now with COVID, like, the realisation that if you're stuck in your house for whatever reason, it needs to be a livable environment. So, I'm not encouraging everyone to go, like, we don't want any buildings. We just need to make sure that there's instill some quality of life written into our legislation so that, you know, we don't have families that are, you know, unable to actually live in the homes that they're in. I mean, the quarter acre dream might be dead, but
yeah.
I don't see what's wrong with having a couple of square metres in your backyard to hang out your washing, you know?
So, no, but I think it's a reality that we should be able to make a, like, when you think about a home on a bit of land, right? Okay, that's a home, a family's living in it. Why can't we reproduce that home on top of itself 15 times, you know?
Absolutely.
That's a totally achievable thing, you know? It's just
totally. And if you look overseas, you know, they've got rooftop gardens, they've got shared spaces that people
can
use.
Decent deck, you know?
I mean, absolutely. Those sorts of things make absolute sense. And
communal, like outdoor living area, you know, it's all community.
Totally.
And then you're literally in your community, you know? Like, you have a community.
Totally. Yeah. So, and also, like, the Avondale one is within, you know, walking distance of a train station, so
yeah.
and pretty close to the city. So
I kind of like it. It's a kind of a cool vibe. Like because I cruise down there, and I go to Pack and Save, and I'm like, shit, this is like a kind of a good vibe. They're not ugly buildings, you know. Look, it's all pretty sweet, you know. So
yeah. There's some really cool ones around that Pack and Save in Mount Alba, actually. That I was like, and they've done with brick and tile, and you know, you go to New York and there's loft style buildings.
Dude, like, hard. It's got a nice vibe.
Yeah, we just need to make sure, like I say, you know, when we're looking at development, when developers are making $800,000 per building, well, you know, they've got a budget of $800,000
per building. The motives are wrong, yeah.
So we've just got to be careful here that we're not giving away, that we're not throwing away our quality of life because of this perceived kind of, I guess, situation when there might just be some greed thrown in there.
Yeah.
So if you can, even if it's just a very quick few sentences about how you think people should be able to have a quality of life, whatever the legislation is, it does need to protect our quality of life because, you know, and what does that quality of life look like? You know, maybe it looks like some shared communal spaces that people can, you know, have a barbecue or, you know, more than one car space or charges for their electric bikes or whatever it is. You know, we just need to be future-proofing so people enjoy their homes.
That's
and
a good
not,
word. Future-proofing is a real thing that we need to think about. Yeah.
What can we do to protect the green spaces within the city? Because I feel like people take a lot of the classic green spaces for, I guess, for granted, like One Tree Hill and that sort of area. And I've recently sort of discovered around the Polytechnic out Mount Albert Way, there is a bunch of green space in there, but I know that a lot of that is quite often discussed as a potential site for more urban development.
Yeah, apparently there's the Panuku, which is the development of Auckland Council, that do things like buy up land and then build on them, which is fine. But there's a bit of a running internal joke, apparently, which is that parks are the new land banking. So absolutely, I think that's a major issue, Johnny. And I think, I don't know how we protect it, because recently the council were asked to go through all their parks and sell off any that they didn't think were necessary, and they did some of that down the road from us, and then 2 months later they've decided to build this 300 home development, and now they don't have a park, you know.
Yes.
And had the council known about that development happening, they probably wouldn't have sold off that land.
So ironic, because there's a shitload more people going to need a place to just vibe out. So it's crazy.
100%, and with space, right?
Yeah, dude. Like, yeah.
Like,
I just got a text in here that someone's saying, see Aroha Avenue Apartments, St. Luke's, for a great example of apartment living for the future, co-living and sustainable too. Someone's giving it a big shout out there.
Awesome.
So,
I mean, we should totally be shouting out these places doing it right. Like, it's not, and it's very frustrating as somebody who, you know, likes to speak up about this stuff when people are like, oh, you're a NIMBY. And I'm like, no, man, I'm all for great housing for people, but you know, I grew up on with very little, and I look back and I'm like, we were isolated, and had we been in the middle, because my mum couldn't afford a car that didn't break down, and had we been in the middle of the suburbs out in the back blocks of nowhere, we would have been screwed. So, you know, if I got sick or if we needed food or
there's no public transport.
So what ends up happening is those people go to the local dairy, and then they're paying 5 times more than they need to, and it's just a cycle of crap, you know?
It is,
or they're using their dryer because they can't dry their clothes anywhere, and that's expensive. So I think we need to, like, protect people as well as houses them, if that makes sense.
Yeah, unfortunately,
and calling out those good developers is probably a really good way of doing it.
The people on like the lower tier are constantly living in kind of like a band-aid society where they're just, like you say, you're putting out fucking fire after fire. You got a couple of kids, shit, you can't afford to like spend that extra 5 minutes to go to the cheaper place to get the stuff. You just got to get the thing, you know, and like you say, you're spending
totally.
More, and it's just like it's a brutal little cycle. And unfortunately, there's people up the top that are basically fucking farming these people, you know. It's pretty gross.
Unfortunately that is almost the definition of capitalism.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
people make money off cheap labor of others, so it is, you know, it's pretty heartbreaking. Without getting into, you know, a massive philosophical debate about revolution. I mean,
well, that's what we're here for. That's what we're here for, Rita. And I think, I tell you what, we've I like that we've kind of leaned in on this topic because it just means that we definitely don't have time for that other topic, which is small things that are constantly becoming extinct, but I think it's good for us to just get in on a topic, and this is an important one.
Yeah, so. And look, the microbes will be here next week.
Well, maybe they fucking won't. That's the point, right?
there'll be a few percentage left of them, but we can still talk about them next week.
It must. Well, I just know the statistics must be horrific, because it's like, if you're thinking about these big things going missing every once in a while, the amount of little things that we're just discovering and we're discovering are becoming extinct is kind of gnarly. And it's probably almost like a fractal situation where you keep zooming in and more things are just disappearing, right?
Totally. Yeah. The numbers are pretty staggering, even just for what we don't know about, I think.
Okay.
We can have a chat about that next week. But for those of you that want to, please jump on parliament.nz, midnight tomorrow night, and it's called the RMA, so Resource Management Act, RMA, Enabling Housing Supply and Other Matters Amendments Bill. Mm-hmm. So I know that's a complicated one. I'm sure if you do a bit of Googling, if that's not going to work, then you'll find it.
Right.
But definitely write in and just call out, you know, some good urban design rather than just broad stroke, changes.
Mm. And actually, if you know of some places that you think are good, you know, mention it. And can I just do a little thanks to anybody that does submit all this stuff? Like, you know, everyone appreciates it. All the lazy people are like, thank you for your time.
Yeah. I always say to people that democracy isn't just voting every 3 years. It's actually getting involved. And, you know, the way I think about it is, if you had employees and you hired them and you walked away for 3 years and came back 3 years later and did an assessment, like, that's a pretty shitty way to run things, really. So having those constant emails to your MP, you know, submissions to things, makes them realise that you're fucking watching them, you know, and it's not good enough for them to just do whatever they want. Because remember, they are being lobbied by paid people in every industry. So their voices are louder, there's more of them, and they're being paid to do it full time. And we are, in the meantime, getting disinformation and don't have time to fill these forms out. So
it's almost our job to audit them as they go, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And just remind them that we're watching them and they need to do a good job, or else, you know, we're not going to vote for them next time. So.
Kapai. Hey, Rita.
Fantastic.
Thanks so much, mate. It's always a pleasure.
No worries. Have a great week.
Right on.
Bye.
Sustaining Alive on 95BFM. Thanks to Scarecrow, your local kitchen, florist and grocer. Go to scarecrow.co.nz.